Broken in the dust again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we've had to adjust our settings. So Skype did an update on us today and fouled everything up again. It's just
okay.
Like,
I just checked, turned the speaker up a little bit. You are live.
Yes.
So that's, there we go.
Very good. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Pass the ammunition.
Good thing I got the cheat sheet here to correct all the settings that got changed. Pastor Steve was patiently waiting while I fumbled through all the settings.
It just has a mind of its own when they do that. It just changes everything in your computer.
Yeah.
And you go to do something and you can't do it because all the specifications have changed.
Right. Yeah.
And you're out there just blowing in the breeze.
Yeah, it's like I never had any settings at all. That's right. That changes everything.
Well,
right?
at least we're on. We didn't get to play the music, but...
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, we'll correct that in the future. So anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Yahweh's Covenant People. And we're going to do part three of the Issachar. And we've primarily been focusing on Finland and Estonia and Norway as descendants of Issachar. But today we're going to focus on the Frisians. The Frisians, who apparently are a break-off branch of Issachar.
Those are the people with the bad hair.
Oh, really? Right.
Yes, their hair's all frizzy.
Frizzy. Spelled F-R-I-S-I-A-N-S, if you had never heard of the Frisians before. And not too far from, actually, let me just look at the map here real quick, because people, Friesland, it's actually called, and it's in the northwest corner today. What's called Friesland is in the northwest corner of the Netherlands, okay? So it's like, today it's a big province of northwest Netherlands, okay? Right across the bay from Amsterdam, okay, there's a huge bay that Amsterdam, if you sail straight north from Amsterdam, you will run into Frisia or Friesland. And we're going to be quoting from an article from the Ensign Message. And
put that in the chat room if you could, while I gotta pour my coffee into my carafe, or it's gonna go cold on me. I'll be right with you.
Okay, right. Okay. All right. So while Steve is doing that, I'll start reading from the article. I'll be logging into the chat room. I was so busy getting the show on air that I didn't have time to open up the chat room yet. So this is Frisians, Sons of Issachar, by Bert Otten. Holland. And this, again, is from the Ensign Message, not the new Ensign, that is affiliated with Eurofolk Radio and run by Chris in southern England. This is the Ensign Message. It's an older publication. It's not part of BIWF, British Israel World Federation. I believe it's an independent journal. Run by Identity/British Israel people, okay? And so the first paragraph has this to say.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
If I don't have my coffee, I'm not much good for anything, but I'm totally worthless if I don't have my coffee.
Right. Maybe you need to soak your ankles in coffee. Maybe that's the cure. Right?
They're getting a lot better, but...
Yeah, good. Good, excellent.
But they're just, every so often you have to take off the dead skin from the edema.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that gets all the fresh stuff underneath, and it's very sore. And I put my aloe bandages on there, and it soothes.
Oh, it's so soothing. Right.
But it's, oh boy.
Yeah.
This whole week has been insane.
Yeah,
with what's going on with our government, other governments, the violence that's they posted that Country Signal Kyle Yorlitz was shot to death by five black kids. That's in the chat room.
Wow. Yeah, it's getting very crazy. Yeah, Europe is rising up. There's no doubt about it. And the Trump officials that are being grilled by the Democrats are being really feisty, and talking back to the Dems who are grilling them, and being very disrespectful, which was what they should, because the Democrats are no goodniks. That's the first time I've used that word in a long time, and. It's showing. They're showing real spunk. They're not taking it from these Democrats anymore, and even Nancy Pelosi applauded once during Donald Trump's speech. You know, State of the Union message. She actually applauded once, right? And people were shocked when she applauded. But let me just go take this first couple of paragraphs. And then I'll head into the chat room.
I'm doing it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. This study is to show that the Frisians are descendants of the tribe of Issachar, one of the lost 10 tribes. Many books have been written to show the nations of northwestern Europe to be of Israelite descent in general, and Great Britain, Ephraim, and the United States of America, Manasseh, to be Joseph in particular. Okay. Let me say this. I wouldn't break it down that precisely. I would simply say that Ephraim and Manasseh are the English-speaking tribes, which would be both Ephraim and Manasseh, and they branched out from Britain to America to Australia and Canada, New Zealand. You know, they're Ephraim and Manasseh are the English-speaking tribes. Okay, it's hard to break it down and say that America is Manasseh and Britain is Ephraim.
Well, America is no longer just Manasseh. We've got everybody here now.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Because of the Israelite immigration over all the years. And this is the fulfillment of the end times prophecy that we keep talking about.
Right.
When all the houses will be gathered together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just basically waiting for the hit the fan scenario.
Right. Oh, it's coming to pass. It's hitting. No doubt.
It's hitting all over. Not just here. I mean, it's worldwide.
Worldwide. Yeah, yeah. And white people are beginning to smell how awful things really are, and they're beginning to fight back. So it's just a question of time before the shooting war starts on our soil here. Okay. It's already started in Europe, with the Muslim invasion. By the way, this is actually a repeat, and I don't know if people have caught the shows that Andy and I did about Jewslam, okay? We did two shows showing that Islam and Judaism have been working together against the white race for the last 2,000 years. Well, actually, 1,500, because Islam didn't begin until around 600 A.D. But they've been working together against white Christianity in this whole time. And on those two shows, we proved how they've been working together. The case study is Spain, where Christian Spain, where the Jews, using treachery, opened the gates of the Spanish cities to allow the Moors in to attack the Christians. All right. The same thing is happening today, folks. The Jews are letting the Muslims in to all the white countries today, not just to the city-states of Spain, okay? So that's what's going on, and the sooner our people worldwide realize that that's what's going on, the better, okay? So we can fight the real enemy. The enemy is within, folks. The enemy within is inviting the enemy without to come in. That's what's really happening, and most white people simply cannot see it. But let's continue.
Well, they're going to have to see violence in their own neighborhood. They're going to have some of their own people hurt by this.
Yep.
I mean, our people have been bred now, psychologically bred, to not resist.
That's right.
Obey.
Yeah. The sheep have been sheared so down to the bare skin. There's no wool left. That's how badly we've been sheared. Okay, the Celts. There are numerous parallels between the Celts, who surfaced in Europe from about 600 BC onwards, and the 10-tribe northern house of Israel, also called Ephraim and Samaria, which was taken into Assyrian captivity from 721 to 718 BC, and which broke loose from their captors after the Assyrian Empire fell to the Babylonians. Okay, so the general time period of 745 BC. That's when the first half-tribe of Manasseh was taken captive. And
okay. I think that's a misprint. It should be Sumeria, not Samaria.
Oh, no, I think he's referring to the northern house of Israel, their capital. Their capital city.
Oh, yeah. They were kicked out.
Right.
Samaria, they had made those calves, et cetera, et cetera, and then apostatized.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of a repeat of what happened at Mount Horeb, right?
Yeah.
Or at Mount Sinai. I think those are synonyms, right?
I don't know. It's all bull as far as
I'm concerned. There you go.
Oh!
Yeah. Actually, that one, you get a merit for that one. That was
That
wasn't too bad. Okay, so go ahead, take 609 BC.
All right, the Celts are descended from the house of Israel, Samaria, beat Cumri, Cumerians, Assyrian for Beth Omri, the house of Omri, hence Cimri or Sumerians. There is quite an astonishing analogy between the northern house of Israel with their Levites slash priests on the one hand and the Celts and Druids on the other. Among Celts, the Druids were the only teachers of religion, like the priests slash Levites were in Israel. The Druids offered sacrifices as the priests did in Israel. Among pagan nations, it is normally the civil government that judges criminals, especially so in murder cases, but this was not the case among the Celts. Like the priests in Israel, it was the Druids and not the kings or heads of tribes that decided about life and death. And it shows a little picture here with the Dutch Frisian Islands, all the islands out away from the Netherlands. Similarly, the Druids had their high priest, as did ancient Israel, and like the priests and Levites, the Druids were in charge of religion. Mm-hmm. I like this website because the print is so clear.
Yeah.
It's just very easy to read. Another strong link is the fact that both Levites in Israel and Druids among the Celts were exempt from military service and paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
If it came near the temple or attacked the temple any of the holy articles, both were very fierce.
The Levites
were known to be fierce warriors.
Right.
That was their job to protect the temple. They didn't go out and do the general battles. Their duty was to the temple, and they were very vehement about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Celts seem to have raised commemorative stone monuments, as the Israelites did, and the oak tree played a significant role in the lives of both Celts and the idolatrous Israelites of the northern kingdom. The
Asherah
poles, the groves, all that. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It was a carryover.
Yeah. And I don't think he mentions it here. Sorry to interrupt, but the Druid robes were very much similar to the Levitical robes, almost identical.
Yeah.
I've heard that reported in other places.
We brought our culture with us, even though it was a little bit skewed.
Right.
The Celts had special feasts in May and October, a corruption of those of the Eternal, Leviticus chapter 23. Their day started at sunset, as it did in Israel.
Okay.
Our calendar starts at sunset, our solar Enoch calendar that we put out.
That's right.
Whereas the year commenced, according to certain historians, in autumn, as the year still does with the J-word.
Right.
they also used a solar lunar calendar with alternating months of 29 and 30 days, similar to the...
Yeah, so because it was pagan.
They the J-word, sooner... Solar, sooner, lower, right. Solar lunar calendar.
Solar.
Yeah, well, right.
By the way,
I got to put more whiskey in my coffee.
Right, yeah. Well, you got some rum in that coffee there, brother? By the way, Pastor Hebert, or Rob Hebert, his calendar is out. The new one is out and available. I'll be putting a link up on the website with a couple of photographs of it. It's very beautiful. It's
and
more,
I've got one.
Okay, very good, very good. So, and of course, it begins on March 21st, the Tekufa, the spring Tekufa, mm-hmm. and you know. So, but nevertheless, you want to get yours ahead of time. So, I'll be putting a blurb up on the website, about how you can order a calendar. It's a thing of beauty. But it's more general this time, but it's got prolific quotations from both Old and New Testament. It's really a beautiful calendar yet again. Okay, so where were we?
Okay, the most gruesome analogy is the one of human sacrifices.
Hmm.
For this reason, Julius Caesar considered the Celts barbaric, and it was one of the reasons why God drove the 10 tribes out of the promised land. Could it be that Baal and Moloch, the gods of the apostate Israelites turned to worship, were in essence the same as the Celtic gods, Belenos, as Baal, and Lug, Moloch?
Mm-hmm.
Human sacrifices were made to both Moloch and Lug.
Yeah, you pronounce those words like Mr. Spock on the Starship Enterprise, right? Okay, they were probably here, right? And of course, Mr. Spock is a Jew.
Forget Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, right.
There's no human life.
Yeah, okay. Let me take Zebulun and Issachar.
Do
those who write about the lost tribes are quite unanimous over the identity of the Dutch as Zebulunites, and we did a show on that already. Zebulun's prophecies, see Genesis chapter 49 and Deuteronomy chapter 33, strongly focus on a tribe obtaining a living from the sea. The Bible is supported in this by the apocryphal Testament of Zebulun, the testament of the 12 patriarchs, in which the very first sailing boat is ascribed to Zebulun, and in which Zebulun encourages his tribe to be compassionate. The love for water, for the sea, and the compassion for fellow men are strong national characteristics in Holland. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, Issachar shares Zebulun's prophecy concerning maritime and naval blessings. In the Testament of Issachar, the patriarch Issachar calls his tribe to simplicity and goodness, Envud Rechturze, and encourages his descendants to breed cattle. Where Zebulun is, Issachar cannot be far away. Why don't
you take the main seafaring tribe was Dan, though. They
That's
left.
Correct.
A lot of Dan didn't go on the Exodus from Egypt because they were already known as the Phoenicians. They were basically the same. And they were all over the world in their reed boats, which were stormproof. They would flex instead of break.
That's like Noah's Ark was. It was made of reeds. It wasn't a solid wood boat because it had to flex. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing is true of Dan later on, after the split between the two houses. Just before the Assyrians invaded the 10 northern tribes, a lot of Danites decided to leave in their ships rather than get overrun by the Assyrians. Okay? And a lot of Danites were part of the Beth Amri, the Cimmerian, so-called Cimmerian, wave of migration from the 10 northern tribes into Europe, okay, into Ireland, into England, Wales. They still call themselves the Cymru today, Beth Amri. Okay. So, strong and brave fighters. Just before his death, The patriarch Jacob prophesied about his son's descendants in the last days. Jacob's blessing for Issachar is mentioned in Genesis 49, verses 14 through 15. Quote, Issachar is a strong ass, and we quoted this last time, a raw-boned donkey. Un ane robust, Louis Segond. Un ane osux, or ox. En bonkige es esel. Esel, that's German for donkey, esel. NBG, en stärke gebende esel. Okay. The Jewish Encyclopedia states about Issachar, quote, Jacob, in blessing his children before his death, compared Issachar to a strong and bony ass. This expression is a prophecy referring to the tribe of Issachar. I know a lot of people I could describe as strong and bony asses, too. All right. Physical appearance, or apparel, rather. The descendants of Issachar are described as robust, vigorous people, and the Romans wrote about the Frisians likewise. M.D. Teenstra describes the Frisians in Die Chronik von Groningen, Fries and den Drenthe. The Romanian Beschweren, that's not German, that's Dutch. The Romans, translated, it means, the Romans described the Frisians as rough and fierce, of big physique, and very muscular. I think that describes a lot of the Germanic people, Germanic being Israelite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brave fighters. Issachar, being a raw-boned donkey, not only referred to the physique of his descendants, but also to their military ability. Although not an aggressive people by nature, they were reliable fighters whenever they were called upon, and I think that's true of the entire Anglo-Saxon race. You know, we're slow to get angry, but when we do, watch out, okay? Judges chapter 1 describes how the tribes of Israel took possession of the promised land and how each tribe failed to drive out certain Canaanites living in its area, right? We've covered that subject many times. The only tribe not mentioned in this account is Issachar. This could be either because Issachar was included in Zebulun or because it was the only one to remove the Canaanites. It is unknown whether the Issacharites actually achieved this, but they are not accused of not having done so. In the days of David, the tribe is described as very populous, able to supply more able men to fight for Israel than any other tribe except for Judah. Why don't you take the next section? Frisians.
All righty. Mm-hmm. The Frisians, brave people. This is Encyclopedia Britannica, 9th and 11th editions, states of the Frisians. In the 13th book of his annals, Tacitus tells how the chiefs, Veritas and Malorix, as he calls them, excited the amusement and admiration of the people by taking, unasked, their seat among the senators in Pompey's theater. When they heard that strangers from nations distinguished by their bravery and friendship to the Romans were advanced to that honorable position, the Frisians struggled against Roman overlordship somewhat longer, and it was not until AD 47 that they finally submitted to the victorious arms of Domitius Corbulo. The Frisian auxiliary were likewise regarded as excellent troops. Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, volume 19, page 413. The stubbornness. Oh, sure. I wouldn't know. Stubborn. No. Surely not. Why are they compared to a strong and bony ass? Probably because it also refers to their stubbornness. In English, there is the expression as stubborn as an ass, or in Dutch, zo koppig als een ezel. In Holland, in Dutch, the Frisians are also known for their stubbornness. Friese Slifkov, stubborn Frisian.
Okay.
A couching down between two burdens. Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens, and he saw that the rest was good and that the land it was pleasant. and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. Genesis 49, verses 14 and 15. Tillage and tribute. With regard to Issachar, Genesis 49, 14 and 15, Matthew Henry's commentary states the following. That the men of that tribe should be strong and industrious, fit for labor and inclined to labor, particularly the toil of husbandry, like the ass that patiently carried his burden and, by using himself to it, makes it the easier. Issachar submitted to two burdens, tillage and tribute. It was a tribe that took pains and, thriving thereby, was called upon for rents and taxes. Scott's commentary, volume 1, concerning the same two verses, states, Issachar is described under the emblem of a strong ass, as Judah had been under that of a fierce lion. This implied that the tribe of Issachar would be industrious and unambitious, bearing labor or tribute peaceably, of which trip burdens others grievously complained. He was sensible that rest,
oy, not the labor. Oy, babe, we have so much trouble. They're certainly not Jews.
They don't farm. No. He was sensible that rest, not from labor, but from war and contention, was profitable. And being satisfied with the pleasantness of a remote part of the country, he little intermeddled with the affairs of the state or of war.
Yeah, that describes a lot of white people.
Yeah, leave me alone and you won't have any trouble.
What's that bumper sticker say? Live and let live. You know, the Jews don't believe in that.
Surely not.
Yeah.
Let me get a hit of coffee here.
Yeah. Okay. Not aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Okay.
That's another excellent comment is found in the Dutch Staten Beachbel met Kentucky. Kentuckyingen.
Oh, that's how the state of Kentucky got its name.
Kentuckyingen, yes. Translating as, in comparison with a strong but lazy and easygoing ass, he predicts Issachar's descendants to become strong and of great capacity, though, by the fatness of their land. However, so much inclined to ease and peace that they would not accomplish much.
Hmm.
Yes, even become tribute to others.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Frisians, not aggressive. Compare this with what the Encyclopedia Britannica 9th edition says about the Frisians. Frisians, a people of Teutonic stock, who at their first appearance in history are found in possession of the same district of Europe, which they still, at least partially, occupy. But it's got Muslims now. Yeah, so far right. as can be judged, they have never been of an aggressive disposition. He saw that the rest was good. And it is not improbable that at one time they may have possessed a much wider territory than history usually assigns them. For this neglect, the principal reason is undoubtedly the fact that the people have, at least in modern times, displayed no strong political individuality, bowed a shoulder to bear, but now allowed themselves peaceably to be merged in more powerful nationalities and become a servant unto tribute.
Right.
And well, that whole area is getting ready to blow up.
That's right.
They're tired of their politicians, and they're tired of the rapes. They're tired of the no-go zones in their own cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to find out that getting kicked in the head by an ass
Right. That's right. Well, last time we identified primarily Finland and Estonia, with some Norwegians identified as Issacharites, and here we're finding the Frisians. And as the map that I just looked at shows, and this article has a map too, of islands in northwestern Denmark, or you know, that area there, which shows that they were probably more widespread at one time, but pretty much lost their identity as the tribe of Issachar. Okay. So, and blended in with other tribes of Israel, with those tribes of Israel ruling over them. The most predominant nation of Issachar seems to be Finland. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we quoted Mannerheim. Go ahead and finish this
right.
article.
Right. These more powerful nationalities are the Dutch and the Germans. Most of Issachar's descendants live either in the Netherlands or in northern Germany. If one draws a line from Ijmuiden, I'm not good with that, in the Netherlands to Bremen in Germany, then north of that line is Issachar country.
Okay.
Okay. So you can take the Encyclopedia Britannica section.
Okay. Well, let me do that. Oops. Hold on. I lost
it. Is this the last of it?
Let me see. I've got another link to the same article, which seems to be considerably longer. Cattle. Plot Deutsch. These, it's by the same author, but it's a longer article. Let me copy this and send this into the chat room here. It seems like this article is shortened unless there's more on the next page. I haven't had a chance to look.
Well, here, I'll take this while you're doing
that. Go ahead.
That.
Yeah, go ahead. I put that.
Encyclopedia Britannica, 15th edition, Micropedia, Volume 5, pages 14 and 15, states this. Frisian, member of a Germanic people speaking a language closely related to English and living in the Frisian Islands in Friesland and northern province of the Netherlands and in Ostfriesland and Nordfriesland in Germany.
Okay.
From the 1st to the 5th century A.D. They were more or less tributary to the Romans. Their land was then infiltrated by Angles and Saxons on the way to England and subsequently conquered by the Franks under Charlemagne, who converted them to Christianity. In subsequent centuries, in the last days, they were territorially divided between two campfires. NIV margin notes. In the 16th century, the Western Frisians joined the union that was to become the Netherlands.
Okay, I see. Okay, that's a very good history there. All right, so I just put the link in for the second article. Apparently, the one in the new Ensign, the Ensign message is truncated. And it continues on in the link that I just posted. Frisians is by the same author, but it's longer. And the next section goes into Frisian, a proper language. But there's still a little bit more in the section that you just finished. Let me finish it here for you, Steve. The Frisians are territorially divided. Did you read this already? West Friesland and Friesland, Mid-Friesland. Did you read that part?
No, it's not in this.
Okay. So I just put a link in for the other article, and I'll finish this section with this paragraph. The Frisians are territorially divided. According to the Standard Encyclopedia, their descendants live in West Friesland, northern part of Nordholland. Friesland, also called Mid-Friesland, this is the present-day province of Friesland. The Frisian my page is too small, I gotta move it up. Ommelanden, Frisian Ommelanden, between the Ems and the Lauwers Zee, the present-day province of Groningen, except for the capital and the peat colony in the southeast. That's that province I mentioned earlier, which is in northwestern Nederland. Ostfriesland and the Sagelterland in Germany. The West, East, and North Frisian Isles, including Helgoland, all along the coasts of the Netherlands and Germany, together with Nordfriesland between Husum and Tønder, just south of the Danish border in northern Germany. So, in other words, the Frisians of Issachar are scattered amongst these various nations, so-called today. Okay? Now, Frisian, a proper language. Three dialects of modern Frisian are still spoken today, Encyclopedia Britannica, 15th edition. Although Frisian was formerly spoken from what is now the province of Noord-Holland in the Netherlands, along the North Sea coastal area and modern German Schleswig, including the offshore islands in this area, modern Frisian is spoken in only three small remaining areas, each with its own dialect. These dialects are West Frisian, about 375,000 people, spoken in the province of Friesland in the Netherlands, including the islands of Schiermonnikoog and Terschelling. East Frisian, only about 2,000 people, spoken in Saterland west of Oldenburg, West Germany. And North Frisian, about 8,000 people, spoken along the west coast of Schleswig and Schleswig-Holstein in West Germany, and on the offshore islands of Sylt, Föhr, Amrum, the Halligen Islands, and Helgoland. Although Frisian was, Helgoland means Holy Land. Although Frisian was hardly used at all as a written language for about 300 years after the end of the Old Frisian period, there has been a revival in modern times in the West Frisian area. The language is now used in the schools and courts in the province of Friesland and is acknowledged as an official language by the government of the Netherlands. How about that? There is also a Frisian Academy. East and North Frisian are being gradually supplanted by German. Man, I would love to hear how that language is spoken. All right, have you got this second article?
No, I don't.
Okay, I put it in your link in Skype.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
let me zap out of this.
Okay.
And
I'll read this last section. Plattdeutsch. Another interesting feature is that the language spoken in all of northern Germany is not High German, but Low German. Ach du lieber. Yeah. Niederdeutsch. That's what I speak. That's what I grew up speaking is Low German. Low German falls into falls into the same subgroup of the Germanic Teutonic language as Dutch. The following is an overview of, and it's also spoken in Austria, Low German.
Yeah.
Overview of Germanic. That note that the Frisian and English fall into the same category. The meaning of this will be discussed later. It can be concluded that the Frisians are still living in the lands they inhabited 2,000 years ago, and that have not come to the forming of their own political state. They preferred to be absorbed by the Dutch and Germans into their states because they loved sauerkraut, because the land they were and are residing in was still and pleasant. Don't bother us. Leave us alone.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. You want to take chapter three, cattle?
Where are we? Chapter strong and brave fighters?
No, way down. Chapter three, cattle.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Husbandry is one of the decisive signs that Frisians are from the tribe of Issachar. Husbandry is the main characteristic of the tribe of Issachar. To go back to the remarks of Matthew Henry's commentary, that the men of the tribe should be strong and industrious, fit for labor, inclined to labor, particularly the toil of husbandry, that's emphasis added. Because the land was pleasant, it was good for agriculture and cattle breeding. And because the Issacharite is most often a farmer at heart, he is able and willing to give up a certain amount of political freedom. And I got to move the Skype image to get it away for the quiet and peaceful life of a farmer.
Right. Well, that would describe some boars as well, wouldn't it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Leave sure us is. Alone. But no, everybody bothered the Boers, the Blacks, the Freemasons, the Cape Dutch, Pastor Martin says are really Edomites. And of course, the Jews and the Brits, the Indians, the Portuguese. None of these people would leave the Boer people alone. Back to you.
No, well.
Yeah.
Justice is going to be done in the last Eli.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting so close, and we keep warning people. Those that are going to act are already acting. They're prepping. They're arming.
Right.
They're getting ready. You see that in the chat room.
Right.
There are a lot more people listening to the show than are in the chat room. Only certain people post in the chat room. The majority of the listeners just listen.
Right.
They don't get in and chat.
Yeah. We haven't had many trolls lately, too, because you've been kicking them out. Good job. Good job, Pastor Steve.
That chat room is for our supporters and for people that want to have intelligent discussion.
Right.
Which they do.
Yeah.
We have a marvelous group in the chat room. And we just don't need babies in the chat room. That's not for that. I noticed the amount of downloads on my website. I haven't even checked the numbers lately. It was so staggering. Because people listen, and I give my information, and then they go and they download stuff, and then with all the word for words available, I haven't got any orders yet because I sent a whole bunch of them out for free to a lot of the supporters, just because they have supported us for a long time,
very good.
And I wanted to have them safe in the hands of multiple people that were responsible.
Right.
In case anything would happen to me. I mean, I'm up in my 70s, and you never know. And then all that work would be lost if I didn't have it out there. Well, now it's out there, and it's safe, and I can relax a little bit.
Yeah, very good.
So, the same way what David James has done with a lot of the Compere stuff. I wish Dave could get a hold of the rest of that. He's done a marvelous job of saving.
Yes.
A lot of the wonderful works of those patriarchs of the CI movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he saved a lot of my old talk show shows.
He absolutely has.
Amazing. David absolutely amazing. I thought they were lost and gone forever. Thank you, David, for saving those. Wow.
No, I mean, we've been blessed with some very skilled people, Paul English and Dave James.
And you and I have learned. You and I have learned, but Paul and David are the ones who are, techie.
Well, they're the teachers, you know. They have shown I'm pretty doggone computer savvy. I'm doing all the post-production
work.
Yeah,
you're getting better than me.
Well, I made a decision a couple of years ago. I knew what was coming, and I saw the limited amount of manpower that we had. So I went ahead and I spent megabucks on this big Dell computer. This thing is maxed out. It's so fast, it's scary. And this computer right here has nothing on it but music and programs for EFR. I have this thing maxed out on RAM, and I've got a bunch of different, couple of terabyte drives in it, and then I save everything that we do to these zip drives. I buy real good quality zip drives, and I save everything, and then I have them all labeled, and in case anything would happen, we could plug them into another computer and just roll with it.
Right. Very good. Yeah, we'll be up and running in no time. It took me 6 months to rebuild Anglo-Saxon Israel after the Jews took us down the first time, right? So that's not going to happen.
Twice learned.
That's right.
We don't underestimate the enemy. They are vicious.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Let's get to the next section. Mishpat Stalingen. Okay. For the word two burdens in Genesis, the Hebrew lexicon of Strong's gives the following. Mishpat, that's a stall for cattle.
Okay.
Burden and sheephold. Okay. Stalingen is a stall. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Stalls, two of them. Frisian cow sheds are traditionally built in such a fashion that two rows of cows have their backs toward the path in the middle.
Hmm. Their backs. Interesting.
Right.
Why their
backs? They put them in the stall head first.
Oh, okay. So
and then there's a walkway around the rear of the stall where you just open a little chute and then dump the grain, etc. in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's how I did it. I built my barn that way.
Okay.
So, and I had Holsteins.
Okay.
So, years ago.
Yeah.
The Sagan translation of these two verses is most beautiful. Issachar S. Well, it's all in foreign language. I'm not going to bother to read it. The word mishpat is a direct reference to the Issacharites becoming husbandmen. Those that have
very
livestock.
Okay. Very
this aspect is stressed again in Moses' blessing for the different tribes in Deuteronomy 33. As stated before, Issachar does not have a blessing for himself among Moses' blessing. His blessing is included in Zebulun's blessing.
Very interesting.
All of verse 19 states what they will do together, okay? And it is that way today in verse 18.
Okay.
However, a subtle difference is made between Zebulunites proper, Zebulunite stock, and Zebulunites of Issacharite stock. Deuteronomy 33:18. Okay. Zebulun would be most dominant in trade, navigation, and colonizing. Issachar would rather be blessed in his tents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Applies your tents to husbandry. He's out in the field taking care of the livestock, and they lived in tents.
Okay.
Okay.
So sheep herders, cattle raisers, probably horses too, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
And boy, oh boy.
Well, let's not forget the asses. Right.
And pigs.
Yeah, right. That too.
I had a girlfriend long ago whose father was German, and he raised pigs.
Uh-huh.
And I went out to his farm, and it was more than you could stand. It stunk so bad.
Yeah, right. Right? Yeah. Yeah. When I drive down to Central Illinois, there's a couple of pig farms on the way.
You can smell
them. You can smell them about half a mile away, in your car.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your vents closed and your windows closed when you drive past.
Right.
And people will eat that stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
It's all into a lot of technical
Bible commentary.
It's not really clear as far as a. It's too technical to read to the people. Really, a lot of foreign language and.
Well, here, let's jump down to Issachar and Solomon's time. That looks pretty interesting.
Right. The area of Issachar was blessed and was very rich in livestock and in agricultural products at the time of David and Solomon, too. Israel under Solomon attained its greatest size ever. It included Edom, Moab, Ammon, and stretched all the way to Damascus. Stop there. Mm-hmm. The territories, not the people.
Right.
They conquered all of them and had them as slaves.
Right. Or they were expelled. There were no Ammonites.
Or they were expelled into the ground.
Right, right.
They killed them.
Yeah, there were no Moabites or Ammonites left, but there were Edomites, you know, that were being held.
Well, they attacked Israel over and over and over, and that's Solomon right. just stomped them.
Right.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Within Israel, Issachar occupied a very small territory. Still, it formed by itself one of Solomon's 12 tax districts. Of each district, the same amount of supplies were expected. Well,
ooh.
Them being very prolific as far as farming,
yeah.
they could easily do that and still have stuff left over.
Mm-hmm. Almost sounds like the 50 states where they each have two senators, even though
right.
some are very small, some very large.
Well, all right, think of this. The Boers, when they were farming, and they were at peace, and they were not being destroyed by the fed right. the whole continent.
Yeah, that's correct.
Their farms fed everybody from yeah. the north of Africa down to the south of Africa.
That's right, and the Rhodesians.
The best yeah. farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to self-destruct and attack the Boers. And,
yeah, yep.
That was self-destructive.
That's coming to a head, too. Yeah. That's all coming to a head. I think within our lifetimes, probably within the next 5 to 6 years, I don't see the white people of Boer land able to survive without fighting back. Not for much longer.
Well, okay, back to you. A lot of them are leaving.
Yes. While we're leaving as well.
And if they take all the farms like they're trying to do now, they're going to starve, and it couldn't happen to a better
yeah,
bunch.
Yeah, right, right.
Go ahead. Okay. You don't want to kill the farmer, kill the poor. Well, we're leaving.
Right. There you go.
Now yeah, yeah. you feed yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You ask these Jews to feed you. The
ones right.
That urged you on.
Yeah.
See right, how well they were... Yeah. They'll take care of you. How much they love you.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead and finish this section, and then we'll conclude this three-part series on Issachar with this. Okay.
But can you imagine how much they had to provide? King Solomon's wives and concubine alone numbered 1,000.
Yeah.
In Issachar, there were 16 towns and villages. Three of them had been given away to the Levites.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which left 13 towns and villages. The 12 districts of Solomon's tax district, however, not a district for a tribe. Compare Issachar's small area, for example, with the 6th district of Ben-Geber mentioned in verse 13. Had 60 large walled cities in bronze gate bars. Well,
wow.
That was somebody else. That was Manasseh's.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Another mention of Issachar's agriculture and livestock riches in the Bible is to be found in 1 Chronicles 12, verses 39 and 40. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also, their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food, donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, oil, cattle, and sheep, for there was joy in Israel.
All right.
And
yeah.
the Testament of Issachar.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're just about out of time. No, we're under a minute left. So
we'll okay. Let Yahweh yeah. bless and keep you, yeah. dear listeners.
Yes. And yeah, you can read the rest of this article. This is a more complete version of the article we started with. And there's a lot more here, but we've already done 3 shows on Issachar, so we'll just leave people to read this on their own. So, folks, thanks for listening. Glad we got underway finally after having to reset all our settings yet again. Every time Skype does a reset, an update, we have to reset everything. So, but we were able to get on the air about 5 minutes late and got this show under our belt. So thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We will all see you next time. And thanks, Pastor Steve, for helping me with this show yet again. Take care, folks. Okay, that's it.